episode 9 of our cloud networking podcast. Your host, as usual, Newman Mustafa and myself, John Gonzalez. And again, as usual, our podcasts are unscripted and open to get really candid feedback from our guests. This week, we're very privileged and lucky to be welcoming one of our most important customers, Daniel Swan, who's the head of corporate networks at Inbrasat. And in today's podcast, we're going to be talking to Inbrasat about Inbrasat's cloud journey, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and how Dan and Inbrasat is going about upskilling, training their teams for the cloud readiness, cloud operations, and multi-cloud optionality importance. So hello, Dan.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Dan. Good to have you on the show. How is the weather there? It's actually beautiful here in California, about 67 degrees.
Yeah, it's not quite so hot here, that's for sure.
I'm having my cup of tea, enjoying the sunshine and having a good chat with you guys. Hopefully things are better in your location as well.
Dan, before we kick off, we normally ask our guests, what sort of tea do they like, you know?
Well, I'm a builder's tea man. I like pretty simple. It's a good old English cup of tea.
Tetleys or PG tips.
Tetley, PGs, absolutely. Yeah, with a nice biscuit to go with it.
So we had one of our American colleagues last week who's married to an English lady. They liked PG tips.
PG tips, yeah, it's always a good one.
Yeah. Okay. So let's kick off, Dan. Could you give us a little bit of background on yourself and, you know, brief overview of Inbrasat? What are you doing? You know, how you're seeing your cloud journey? And again, as I said, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Absolutely, yeah. So I'm Dan Swan. I've been a technology leader in the industry for about 20 years, mostly in the financial sector. But I've got experience in insurance and ISPs and pharmaceutical firms as well. Started many, many moons ago in network operations and then progressed into network engineering with strategy and design. And then started to look at other areas in technology like voice, cloud, end user, service desk, and a lot of other the process and governance that went along side those things as well. At the moment, I'm working for Inbrasat, been here 2.5 years, excellent company. For those of you who don't know too much about Inbrasat, Inbrasat is a world leader in mobile satellite communications. We provide safety services at sea, airline connectivity, IoT services to enterprise customers, and also importantly, helping aid organizations during disasters. So, you know, we need to be able to rely on communication from all of our customers to deliver that service where needed. We are a company that heavily uses innovation to connect the modern world, and our cloud first strategy is very much key to that success as well. Okay. Just to give you a little bit of background about our cloud journey. Cloud journey started actually when just after I joined the company near on 3 years ago. It's morphed into something drastically different now today than it was back 3 years ago. And I think that's probably a good news story. You know, cloud does not stay still. It changes from a, you know, day to day, week to week basis. So, you know, our strategy and our implementation plan has had to change as well. We did have a few chosen cloud providers back when we started, and I think we've leaned on those guys very heavily in building out our cloud environment and looking to, you know, migrate our workloads away from on-premise to those environments, and we've kind of adapted and added other partners as we've moved through where it's made sense to. So yeah, I think we started at a certain point. Lessons learned in the middle, and we've ended up in a good place at the moment.
That's fantastic. So Dan, as you know, more and more companies and organizations, they're moving their workloads to the cloud, you know, from on-premise. And as a customer, why is it important for you to do the right thing for your business now? as opposed to, you know, trying to defend a decision or an investment that you may have made, you know, sometime in the past, maybe a few years ago. The reason I ask is that lots of customers that we're coming across seem to be stuck in the early decisions that they made and are either timid or nervous about changing their mindset as things develop.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's a great question. So, I mean, as I said before, cloud is constantly changing. So I don't think any decision made today is necessarily the decision you'll make in, say, a year's time. You know, some companies wait until applications need refreshing as a good opportunity to move into cloud, and then they develop their application suite from the ground up to be cloud native before launching into the cloud. But ultimately, that just causes a delay for that application itself, and also for, you know, the other workloads that you may have to, you know, keep on premise until you get that application itself ready. You know, my view is that why not lift and shift all of your current applications with the right controls around them today, and then once they are, you know, cloud native, you can move them into a different cloud environment that may not have the same set of controls around them, and then you can realize all the financial and technical benefits today for your whole estate and not just the ones that are cloud native. The options for cloud in terms of providers, technologies, tool sets, will only ever increase. So I think the choice people will have will get harder, if anything, and not simpler. I would say assess the drivers for moving to cloud, make the decision and stick to it, and then start the journey. And just to add, there is no reason why you need one cloud provider. I think, you know, as time has elapsed, it's quite a common thing for you to use multiple cloud providers, and I think everyone will get to that state where they don't just use one partner, they use, you know, three or four.
That's great. That's great advice, Dan. So one question I have is, you got Inversat is using multiple clouds. They're using, I think, Oracle for Autonomous DBs. You guys have a presence in Azure. I think you may have a presence in AWS as well. Now, in terms of when you're moving your applications into the cloud from a performance perspective, right? So how does the customer validate that whether they it's not just about moving things to a new infrastructure, right? It's also about having the performance SLAs and making sure that the things that are working in on-prem would continue to work. So do you, does customer go through a validation process with the CSPs, or is this now a well understood fact that things do work in the cloud? Because obviously, cloud providers have been proving things for the last 7-8 years when people were talking about cloud, but they were not moving. So there was a lot of smaller teams who were testing and experimenting things. So how has been the journey with you that when you decide to move an application into the cloud, is performance a part of your evaluation, or is it something that's well understood now? And your focus is more about making sure that you have the right security posture and latency and things you can improve from a well-architected design, as opposed to figuring out whether the CSP is qualified enough to host your applications?
Yeah, that's a great question. And there's probably, I'll give a couple of answers. And one first one about user experience. And I think that's key to everyone looking at, you know, any technology solution today, especially if you're moving to cloud, when there's a few unknowns that you're not familiar with. I think user experience is on the list of requirements for most enterprise company, and Inversat are no different. So, you know, typically, most enterprise companies out there today have VPN type solutions that always rely on the main data center. And that's no different for us. We terminate all of our main user sessions remotely and some internally into our main data centers. And that meant really every connection had to come through a physical Inversat location, authenticated, authorized, and then go out to cloud services. So from that end user perspective into the cloud, it was a very suboptimal route into those SaaS-based services. So we immediately, you know, when moving to the SaaS-based offerings, we used the closest egress point to get out to the cloud as quick as possible and do that security validation within the cloud. The second piece about the application, we, you know, we wanted to keep the application and the data layers very close to each other for obvious reasons, and that's that performance factor. We had lots of different discussions around where it was suitable to separate those layers, and I think one of them that you mentioned being Oracle, and that's primarily because, you know, OCI have some restrictions about hosting the data in certain locations. So yeah, we wanted a really adaptable solution that kept our application and data layer close to each other with the same security posture and the same latency requirements that was easily achievable. So what we ended up doing was moving our Exadata services directly to Oracle. We had some direct links in there, and we used Aviatrix to simplify that underlay, creating a really easy solution for how to route between the two. In terms of our customers and the access that they've seen into cloud, I think they've definitely seen an improvement. The old application stack was, you know, in many cases 20 to 30 years old. So there's going to be natural improvements with hardware and also the network underlay. But I think the added benefit of the agility of cloud just really underlined how much of a, you know, step change that delivering SaaS solutions in the cloud actually is.
That's great. Yeah, I think this Oracle Autonomous DB Access or Exadata DB Access from any other cloud is becoming a very household use case for most of the customers that we are dealing with today. And then obviously having that simplicity that allows you to connect to that is a win-win for customers as well.
Absolutely great, yeah.
And Dan, you mentioned Aviatrix helping you get into the Oracle Cloud with our network architecture, et cetera. Why are we important to Inmarsat? What do you see as our differentiator when compared to, you know, doing it yourself? I'm not trying to lead this into a DIY type conversation, but you know, why what stands out for you and what made you choose us to help you in that journey?
And for me, this is an easy one, and I'm someone that goes into evaluating products and tool sets with a skeptical but curious mind. You know, sometimes you don't get what you get on the, you know, you don't get what that says on the tin. But for me, Aviatrix's solution is probably two words: simplification and agility. And each cloud partner comes with its own version of network and security controls, whether it's Azure or AWS or, you know, Oracle, whatever the cloud provider solution is. That means that you have to learn all those network controls, learn all those security controls, how to operate them, how to engineer them, how to support them, and obviously the TCO suffers because of that. With Aviatrix, it provides a really simplistic way of managing those network controls and the security controls, but most importantly, do it in a really quick way. You know, speaking to a couple of the early evaluators within the teams on how easy it was just to set up, you know, Aviatrix services and get them working was, I think it was a bit of a shock, to be perfectly honest. We'd set aside a lot longer to actually get to know the product and execute than we really needed, which was great news. I think using that one methodology and being able to execute that really, really quickly across all platforms makes the solution stand out in my mind. There's no point having an agile cloud if the network underlay takes a long time to get ready.
Right. And you know, it's a lot of people often forget about the network, the architecture, why you must have an architecture. Start with an architecture first, the network. Everything depends on the network, as you know, applications won't work effectively if the network is poor.
Yeah. You know?
So
absolutely,
you know, people need to start thinking ground upwards rather than, you know, get my application and then I'll work backwards from that. And that's where a lot of rework comes in and a lot of money gets spent in the wrong direction.
Yeah, 100% agree. Yeah.
And I think, Dan, you summed it really well. The simplicity and agility, yeah, right, is the key value. And I think speed of innovation, in my opinion, if you're going to the cloud, it's not just about CapEx and OpEx, and you have a hardware and infrastructure that is managed by someone and you just pay as you go model. It's about speed of innovation. It's about how quickly you can tap into the services that hundreds of vendors are making it available for you in the marketplace, right? And it's about you to consume those services and provide additional value to your clients and customers. That's the value that cloud provides, which is again possible if you have a simple architecture, something that you can easily support as well. And I think this is a good segue to a question that I have is, many times I think the leaders are facing with, how do I train up my staff, right, who has been doing an amazing job for the last 20 plus years in my on-prem world, and now you move to the cloud for all that benefits of agility and innovation. And then now your teams are stuck with not having the skill set, right? Because it's basically almost like you are turning a switch on and off. And then now you are dealing with NSXs and ACIs and Cisco and Junipers. And now none of that is sort of relevant anymore. You have to basically ramp up your skills in the new world of CSPs. So what has been your experience? And from a day-to operational perspective, and what are some of the factors that you have to keep in mind as you were trying to establish your organization to pivot to the cloud model and then make sure that they become successful, operation-wise as well?
Yeah, another good question. And I think Gartner summed it up well as well in a recent report that said, 80% of your skill set today will be completely useless in a year's time. And I completely get that. And the same with us. Learning and development has been a real challenge. So many new concepts, so many new vendors, tool sets. A lot of technology and relationships have been kind of forced in at a very quick sort of time frame as well. Our approach has been to lean on the partners extensively, to be honest, to make sure that they guide our learning and empower our technical staff to go off and research and master these on their own and work in those relationships as well. The partners themselves are the ones with the knowledge. So I think, much more than ever before, we kind of have to have really, really close relationships with people we trust. And that's key for me. No longer can you buy a product and, take it out of the box and never speak to the person that provided it again. It's really a partnership. And I think that's really key. I think with Aviatrix specifically, the ACE program, I think, is excellent. And the time it's taken, I think half the team to learn Aviatrix as opposed to some of the other more bespoke, like AWS and Azure, is probably about half the time. And it's because it's a simple solution that works very, very well. Obviously, you must have a ground in cloud and networking specifically, but it's very easy to follow. And I think that's going to be really encouraging to people picking this up that's never seen it before. It guides you in the right way, which is why it's successful.
And it's deliberately made simple for you, Dan, or easy to use. But the complexity, the sophistication is all under the hood that customers don't need to worry themselves about, don't want to worry about that. They just want a nice GUI front end or a Terraform template script that they can create on their own, and away they go and create their constructs. And I think that's the way it was envisaged, and that's the way it was developed, and that's the way it's turned out.
So, yeah. And I think what I have seen is in order to be successful in the cloud, you really need to empower your teams, right, to be ramped up in the cloud. And I think what they appreciate is, yes, you made it simple. You abstract things from me. Any given time, I can double click on what's happening in the network, right? I have the visibility. I know exactly how things are working. And I think as you mentioned, Dan, about the ACE program, so we now closing in on 12,000 ACE certified people globally, over 120 plus countries. And then one of the reasons why people are coming to ACE is because they want to ramp up their on-prem skills. They are not the ones who don't know networking. They know networking is about how do you fast track yourself to be relevant for your business in the cloud, and then be able to help out with the operational expansions and operational efficiencies. And that has been going really great in terms of leadership in this space, and making sure that people get to ramped up very quickly in this new cloud world. And I think overall, you know, another question I have is in terms of, let's say if you have to give advice to a like modern CIOs and CTOs or decision makers who are sort of starting the journey with the cloud or looking to improve, right? What are some of the things that you would leave them with, or a key takeaway that you have learned from your experience that, hey, knowing what I know today, if let's say I would have started my journey with this information, I would have done things differently. So what would be some of those recommendations that you would want your audience to take away with?
Yeah, it's another good question. So I'd say don't be afraid of the cloud. You know, when I first started looking at cloud and looking at the possibilities, it was very daunting because, you know, it was areas of technology and concepts I really wasn't familiar with. And you get overwhelmed very quickly. But I would say, you know, don't be afraid of that. I use it as an opportunity of learning, but you don't have to master everything today. Don't let that put you off starting towards your cloud journey, and you can learn as you go through. So I would say, you know, don't try and complete everything, just get the minimum and then start the journey, and it's going to change anyway. So pick it up and make sure that you're moving in the right direction. But it's going to be a dynamic learning process. It's not something that was used, you know, traditionally. You don't complete a course and then you know all about it. It's something that's going to, you know, rapidly change over time. I mean, you know, look at Token Ring. Where is that now, right? Technology evolves. So don't be afraid of learning new things.
I was still ripping out your Token Ring.
Exactly. That's because it was done very poorly.
Token Ring in frame relays. I still remember.
Exactly.
Token Ring frame relay and SNA.
Exactly. Okay, that's a really a great conversation, Dan. Great advice. John, anything from you?
No, Dan, it's been really great. Thank you for sharing your words of wisdom, your insights. It's been fantastic. You taking the time. We know how busy you are. It's been brilliant having you here.
It's a pleasure. And thanks for inviting me along. Appreciate it.
Thanks Dan.